Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is philosophy and Christianity. And to talk with me about this topic, I have Professor Jason Reed. Let me tell you a little bit about Professor Reed. He has an undergraduate in philosophy from Iowa State University, a master's of art in apologetics from Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's doctoral candidate at St. Louis University, and he's professor of philosophy at Southern Evangelical Seminary. Welcome to the show, Jason.
It's glad to be here. Thank you.
What did I leave out?
Well, my family.
All right. See, you're good. A lot of guys have to tell that.
Well, I'm from the state of Iowa originally, and I grew up in a Christian home and got saved in 1992 and got an interest in philosophy. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then I met my wife. She wasn't my wife then. Back in 97, her name's Holly. We've been married for 9 years. We have three girls, Lisa, age six, Genevieve, age four, and Mary, 21 months.
All right. So I guess we can get right to the topic then. Professor Reed, what is philosophy?
Well, what is philosophy is also a philosophical question. So probably the best way of answering the question is to look at how philosophy got started. Philosophy was started back in the 6th, 7th century B.C. by some Greeks who were unsatisfied with myths. You know, they were tired of explaining seasons by saying, well, there's a reason why we have winter, fall, spring, summer, is because a god dies and splits in half. And so what these Greek thinkers did was look to see how is it that reason or knowledge and evidence and truth can be helped to answer these sorts of questions. So, make a long story short, philosophy is a love of wisdom. This comes from the Greek philosopher Pythagoras. They asked him, are you wise? He said, well, no, I'm not wise, but I'm a lover of wisdom. So philosophy is a love for truth. It's a love for wisdom. It's a love for knowledge.
Okay. Why is philosophy then important?
Well, you know, it's very apropos that you're asking this topic because many Christians think that it's unimportant, and I was actually one of those Christians. When I got saved in 92, like most young Christians, you're going to be a missionary or a pastor. And so I went into religious studies at the university, and I had to take a philosophy class. And I thought the same thing. The philosophy isn't important. You know, they're going to tell me that I don't know that the table, that this isn't here. You can't know anything. How do we know we're not just in the thumbnail of some great big giant? Anyway, those sorts of silly things. As I start to get into philosophy, and when I was taking my philosophy class, I came to find out that philosophy was important because philosophy asked the same questions that I was asking as a Christian. And as I started to study philosophy, I realized that there's a rich heritage of Christian philosophers, that it was important because it really started helped me to sharpen my powers of thinking and enlarge my powers of thinking, and really to learn that it isn't at odds with Christianity. And so it's important because every Christian, whether we like it or not, has certain assumptions, or as we say in philosophy, presuppositions. That's another thing about philosophy is important. You can learn big words. That's another thing,
okay,
too.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it became important because as a Christian, it really helped me to search out my own faith, to questions in the Bible. I had a lot of questions about the scriptures, and philosophy was important because it helped me understand these things. And philosophy is very much a tool and an instrument for understanding reality, and it helps a Christian understand their own faith better.
It helps a Christian understand his own faith better?
That's right.
How's that?
Well, historically, the Christian faith came on the scene roughly 600 years after philosophy had started. And so when the church spread out in the first and second century, many of the converts were former heathens and pagans who had studied philosophy. And so from the very beginning, virtually the very beginning of Christianity, the Christians had sought to integrate philosophy. And they appealed to the philosophers in defending the Christian faith and defending the scriptures. And so Christianity was seen as a kind of philosophy. Christianity was seen as a way of living, as a way of life. And so from the inception, there was no controversy between a Christian who studied philosophy. And so Christianity has always tried to incorporate a philosophical outlook in their Christianity.
So historically, so I guess maybe you've already touched on it, but what's been a relationship historically between Christianity and philosophy?
Well, the early Christians, and maybe people don't know this, but the early Christians saw in Aristotle and Plato and the Neoplatonians and the Stoics and the Epicureans, they saw in the Greek minds.
You mentioned a whole lot of words there that no one...
Okay, sorry. These were Greek philosophers.
Okay.
Okay, and have you ever seen some movies, what's that one movie? Princess Bride. They're mentioned in there. So Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates. These are great, great Greek thinkers. And our Christian, the early church fathers saw in them these great powers of thinking. They saw in them lots of truth. But as a Christian, they saw that Christianity, that the message of the New Testament, that Jesus Christ and the apostles had answers to the questions that the philosophers were raising. So historically, the Christians saw in a philosopher sort of a pre-Christian, someone who's asking questions that the Christians had answers to. Now, what happened historically is that when modern mind became secular, and we'll get into that a little bit, when the mind became believed that Christianity was hostile to thinking, historically, that's when the break took place. That's when Christians began to see philosophy as something that was anti-Christian, non-Christian, as something that did violence to Christian truth. But up until roughly, 300-400 years ago, maybe even 500 years ago, Christianity has always used the Christian. It had always seemed to philosophers, the philosopher is someone who was asking the same questions, but yet the Christians had the answer. So that's the kind of the neat relationship. The Christians, the first Christians, especially the medieval period, saw in the philosophers the same questions we were asking. But yet Jesus and his disciples and the apostles had the real answers.
Now, that's an interesting point because I've taken philosophy, mm-hmm. and there are basically a few questions that have been asked throughout history. So you're saying now that these philosophers who, for generations or centuries, have asked these questions that these Christians come on the scene and they have the answers for them, what type of questions were they asking and what were the answers that Christianity provided?
Okay, well, just from my own personal experience, I think lots of people that watching this show and just people in general in our culture want to know whether or not there is truth. They want to know, is there anything certain out there? Is there anything that's certain? Is God real? Does God exist? Do we survive the grave? I mean, is there immortality of our souls or is the grave the final chapter in our lives? Is there right and wrong? Is there a way I'm supposed to live my life? Is there a way of living my life that will give me happiness? Or is that irrelevant? And so my own life, before I became a Christian, had these questions. Is there a God? How do I know there's such thing as heaven and hell? Do I survive the grave? Is there any truth? How to be wise? And so my own life, I was asking what I didn't know at the time was philosophical questions. And so what these questions do is they prepare a person for the gospel. Because if you're going to become a Christian, you have questions. Right? You just can't believe that Jesus is the Son of God unless there's a God. You can't believe that Jesus Christ is the truth unless there's truth. You can't say that I know I'm going to heaven if there's not any knowledge. You can't say that Jesus Christ gives us the right way to live if there is no such thing as the right way to live. And so as I came to answer these questions on my own, I realized that there's the more questions I get answered from a philosophical viewpoint, it just raised more questions for me that the philosopher couldn't answer. And this is where Jesus Christ comes on the scene. When I met Jesus Christ, when I finally interacted with the God-man, that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and he put the capstone on all the questions that I had. How do I know there's a God? Because he walked the shores of Galilee. How do I know that there is truth? Because truth was walking around in the flesh. How do I know there is a heaven? Because someone from heaven came to earth and told us about it. All these sorts of great things. So that's how the Christians don't have to worry about philosophy. It's not against us. As a matter of fact, it prepares us for Christianity itself, I would argue anyway.
You know, that's very interesting because it seems to me like, just hearing you explain what you just explained, is that man got to a point where he had questions. And it's almost like God is saying, okay, that's good. You have questions.
That's right.
Now I'm going to send you the answers. You're asking the right questions. I'm going to send you the answers. And people accepted them, I imagine, for a time, or maybe some did or some didn't. But I guess somewhere along the line we lost track, but I guess we'll get to that in a minute. But I imagine, since because of what you said, that there were Christian philosophers. So
what were their contributions to philosophy? Because when before I took philosophy, I didn't think that there was any such
right.
philosophy of
right,
because
of
I thought that they were, you know, antagonistic to one another.
Right. Well, probably the best example of what it means to be a Christian philosopher is Saint Augustine, and then we'll touch a little bit on what we just previously talked about, the idea of Christianity and philosophy being partners. Saint Augustine was a non-Christian. Saint Augustine was a Christian philosopher living in the 3rd and 4th century. Arguably one of the greatest Christian minds ever. Raised in a Christian home, but he was a pagan in his intellectually. He started in the cult, the Manichaeans, and started in that cult for a couple of years.
What kind of cult is that?
Manichaeans believe that in a dualism, namely that good and evil are eternal things that have been in conflict for all eternity. And so what bothered St. Augustine was, where does evil come from? That's what bothered him. And he wanted to know the truth. So he searched around and searched around. And he was always confused because, why am I on this voyage? Why am I searching for truth? I mean, the search for truth was not intelligible to him. He didn't even know why he was even looking for truth, let alone whether there is any. And when he went and became a professor, okay, and started listening to the teachings of St. Ambrose, who was a Christian preacher, he saw in the Christian revelation, he saw in Jesus Christ, two answers. One is why he was asking. Why am I searching for truth? The reason he was searching for truth is because God had made him that way. And the reason he was searching for truth, the reason why God had made him that way, because man was meant to be on a path to find God, to find bliss. So it explains why you're looking and what it is you're looking for. And so the Christian faith has always seen the answers in this way, that the philosopher knows that he is looking. The philosopher knows what he's looking for, but he can't explain why he's looking or what it is that he's looking for. And so Christianity historically has seen Christianity's role, and as far as philosophy is concerned, playing that in that function, explaining to the non-believer, explaining to the philosopher, here's why you're looking, and here's the answer. Jesus Christ in the flesh to bring us, and no longer separated from God, but through the Son of truth, through the Son of wisdom, we can actually, and that's exactly what Augustine said. Augustine said this, he was bold to say that true philosophy is in the New Testament. True philosophy is Christian. So then that was that way for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah, somewhere along the line, we lost all.
Yeah, that's probably what we're going to talk about here pretty soon, I imagine.
Well, then is there anything incompatible then between philosophy and Christianity? It doesn't seem to be true philosophy the way that you explained it, but I don't know. Because
how is it that now before you studied philosophy, you thought they were incompatible? How did I come to think this, right?
Yeah.
It's like there's a huge disconnect, right?
Yeah.
Everything I've been saying in the first part of the show, it's like, where did you get this? Because everyone else seems like probably watching is, I never heard this before.
Right.
How's that the case? Well, good question. Here's the answer. What happened is that the Christians stopped doing philosophy. And the modern mind, there are three problems. Skepticism, those who believe that you can't know anything, we should just suspend judgment. We really can't know the truth. There are agnostics who say we can't know ultimate reality. We can't know if there is a God. We can't know if there's truth. And then the Darwinists or the evolutionists who believe that everything can be explained by natural selection and through science. And so here's what happened. Christianity claimed to explain lots of things for, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Then, quote unquote, supposedly, modern man now is able to explain the questions better than the Christians could. And so what the Christians, they misunderstood what their role was in answering the skeptic, because Christians began to adopt the view that the reason why so many people weren't Christians is because they thought, or they studied philosophy. And so they became very much suspicious of reason. They became suspicious of anything that wasn't biblical, explicitly biblical, you know, the idea that you could study Aristotle and you could study Plato and get something out of that. The Christians became suspicious of this. And then here's the paradox, as reason advanced through science, you know, through the modern mind, Christianity became less and less intellectual. So till we have today, namely, most people think that Christianity is incompatible with philosophy because they believe philosophy proves that Christianity is wrong. that philosophy proves that Christianity is false, that philosophy is antagonistic to it. Why? Because the philosophy that won the debate between the Christians and the non-Christians won the debate, unfortunately. The non-Christian philosophy actually won. And so the Christians began to see non-Christian philosophy is just philosophy. And that's what a lot of people think, is that philosophy just is non-Christian in its essence. And that's not it at all. Any more than just because Christianity is a religion doesn't make it false. Christianity is the true religion. Just because there are false religions doesn't mean that there's no such thing as a true religion. Christianity is the true religion. Even the Bible talks about the true religion in James, right?
Yeah.
Just as there is true religion, there can be true philosophy. And so as Christians, this is the thing that's very exciting. We have societies of Christian philosophers. There are organizations out there full of Christians who are philosophers. And I'm part of several of those. I mean, the reason why I am a Christian, the reason why I'm a philosopher, excuse me, the reason why I'm interested in philosophy, the reason why I'm interested in the questions that philosophers ask is because I love Jesus Christ, because I'm committed to Him, I'm committed to His Word, and just out of that love, there are certain philosophical questions that arise out of that, and I think Jesus Christ is the most profound philosopher ever to live. So contrary to what many people think, He's the finest philosopher ever.
Wow. Now,
I want to give you an example.
Yes, please, because most people probably sit back saying, Jesus, a philosopher?
Yeah, because if you remember, let's go way back at the beginning of the show. Philosophy is a love of wisdom.
Right.
Philosophy is a love of truth. If you love truth and you love wisdom and you love knowledge and you want to know what's going on, then you're a philosopher. Just by definition. Doesn't matter whether you're Christian, if you're a Buddhist, or if you are a Hindu or an atheist. To that extent, we're all philosophers. We were looking for something. Many of the ancient philosophers had lots of great books on what it means to be happy. Aristotle, Plato, Plotinus, even philosophers as Immanuel Kant, the great German philosopher of the 18th century, they all believed that man is in pursuit of happiness, and they all wrote books trying to explain what it makes to be happy. And many of them get close. Like, if you know, there's like a target, and they're all getting, their arrows get pretty close and they fall. They get pretty close and they fall. Because there's something that true happiness comes in, and Jesus hits it. Jesus talks a lot about anger, and how anger separates person from happiness. That anger keeps people from having the kinds of life that Jesus Christ wants for us. I don't know if you've, you know, many of us have families, and lots of people are just angry. Yeah, our culture is just angry. About what? Jesus Christ says, that anger, if you don't get under control, is going to ruin you. No philosopher saw that. Only Jesus saw that. Only Jesus could really go all the way and say, anger is a huge inhibitor to the good life. No one, no matter how smart they were, ever saw that. Only Jesus saw that.
Now, what about love? Did he see something there as well?
Oh, yes. Jesus and humility. One of the things that many philosophers, as far as non-Christian philosophers, think is a vice is humility. People like Immanuel Kant and Aristotle saw a humble person as an immoral person. If you are a humble person, according to many philosophers, you're immoral because you're admitting your failure. You're admitting that you can't do things. You're admitting that you're servile. You're admitting that you're a moral failure and reprobate. Well, the paradox that Jesus teaches is that true success, true happiness, comes from admitting that you're not. True sainthood, if you want to become a saint of God, you really want to become a follower of Jesus Christ and become cleansed, and you want to become a good person. To become a good person in Christian categories, in Jesus' teaching, is to admit that you're not.
Yeah.
To admit that you have failed, to admit that you can't do it on your own. So that's the paradox. Great Christian people are the first to admit that they're not great people. And so Jesus Christ teaches, he corrects the philosopher in telling them, look, you really want to arrive at well-being, admit that you can't.
But doesn't that come into conflict with a lot of famous philosophers such as Nietzsche, who thought that you're supposed to be like the Superman? You're not supposed to, you know, there's supposed to be no weaknesses.
Right.
You know.
And they've all failed.
Yeah.
I mean, all these philosophers have failed. They're dead. They're in the grave. Their philosophies come. Their philosophies go. Jesus Christ's philosophy is the only one that survives. And it survives because Jesus Christ understands something philosophically, and I use philosophy in terms of philosophical notion, that wins. Because I mean, Jesus talks about how, you know, the unbelieving world can't understand Christian philosophy. Like Nietzsche and these other existential atheists believe that good life comes through like power, prestige, you know, not being sentimental, these sorts of things. Jesus says that how you're going to win the world? You know how you're going to defeat your enemies? You defeat your enemies by loving them. You defeat your enemies by loving the world. Because what Jesus sees as a strength, the world sees as a weakness. And because Jesus is right about where true strength is, he will always win. And so that's what you don't have to worry. I mean, as a Christian, you don't have to worry, it seems like, although evil is advancing and evil is winning. Evil can only win, and non-Christian ideas can only win for a season. You know, if the Lord tarries and we're here 2,000 years from now, they're still going to be talking about Jesus. They're still going to be talking about his ideas. All the philosophers alive today will be gone, and no one's going to read them.
You make a good point. You made me think of something when we were talking about Nietzsche. And what I thought was interesting about Nietzsche is that when he died, he actually had a Christ complex. He actually thought he was...
That's because he was insane.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he went insane.
But his writings were used by people such as Hitler to justify some of their atrocities.
This is contentious here.
Okay.
That you're making.
Okay.
That's okay. That's what philosophy is about.
But I guess my point that I'm trying to make is that your philosophy or what you think has serious consequences, because you can follow out the consequences or the natural train or follow to the logical conclusion, the philosophy of Jesus, and you were in somewhere completely different than if you followed out the philosophical thoughts of Nietzsche.
Right. The Bible talks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul is philosophizing, and here's what his philosophy is. He's doing the very thing you're saying. Ideas have consequences. Yeah. There are those who are denying the reality of the resurrection, or that that already happened, excuse me, the resurrection of the dead can't happen. And Paul gives what's in philosophy called a dilemma. That you have two options, and according to which option is true, certain things follow. First option is, let's assume, okay, I'm paraphrasing Paul here, let's assume there is no resurrection of the dead. Let's assume for the sake of argument there's no resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ is in the grave and no one's going to be risen. The grave is the end. Okay, then what does Paul say? Your faith is in vain. You preach a risen Christ, and you're preaching something that's false, your faith is in vain. We are miserable and to be most pitied. Your loved ones are gone, you're never going to see them again. Those are pretty serious consequences. So you're right, if you adopt certain ideas, namely there is no resurrection of the dead, there is no immortality, there's no life after death, then what Jesus offered, what Paul's offering, is Nietzsche's answer. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's Nietzsche, right? That's right. And so if you don't think that Jesus, and this is what Paul's saying, if there's no resurrection of the dead, if that's true, you ought to live a certain way, because you can't take it with you. You should try to get it now. But Jesus Christ, here's the other option. Christ has risen. What follows? Your faith isn't in vain. You will see your loved ones again. There is life after the grave. Don't eat and drink and marry, because for tomorrow you don't die. What do? So then you're sacrificing of yourself. The fact that I may not have everything in this life that I've always wanted, I can have it in heaven.
So how should Christians feel about philosophy then? Given all that you said, that you've basically torn down a lot of strongholds that people have against philosophy.
I hope that's true. Well, the one thing that Christians want to be... if you're interested in philosophy, here's your starting point. Lordship over scholarship. If you are a Christian interested in philosophy, your first commitment is to Jesus Christ and his word. You have to start there. And your inspiration for philosophy, I argue, has to come from there. Okay. Jesus Christ and his word inspires me in my philosophical endeavor. Jesus over the professor. Jesus over the academic. The Bible over Aristotle's metaphysics. The Bible over Plato's Republic. The Bible over Kant's Critique of Pure Reason. As a Christian, we are committed to Jesus Christ, and we're committed to him first. So if Jesus Christ says something is true, I don't care what Nietzsche says as a Christian. I don't care what Aristotle says as a Christian. Okay. But on the other hand, all truth is God's truth. All truth is God's truth. And God, through his providence, has allowed great philosophical minds to come up with great truth. And we see this historically to help Christians. And this is the great thing about Christians. And I think my friend John Ernest said the same thing. The great about Christians is that all these philosophers come up with all these truths. The Christians are the one that can take it all. Take it all in, use it, and avoid all the error. And so that's one of the great things about a Christian. Look to philosophy. Look to true philosophy. And insofar as that philosophy is true, it's from God and it can be used. Starting with your heart and your mind, committed to the Lord, and then looking at non-Christian philosophies. You incorporate them to understand your own faith.
Okay, great. Actually, that's going to bring us to the end of the show.
Wow.
Professor Reed, how can people get in contact with you?
Our website, www.ses.edu. If you go onto the faculty page or the contact page, my email is there. We teach philosophy courses at the seminary for three purposes. One is to advance the gospel. You have to understand advancing the gospel. You've got to understand the world in which you live, and the philosophies for that. Second thing is, it's for the own sharpening of your minds. The biggest praise that we get at the seminary in the philosophy courses, I never thought I could think this deeply about things. And thank you so much, for enlarging our minds. Third thing is to change the world. And so if you're interested in studying philosophy, you're interested in seeing how philosophy interacts with Christianity, look at our website. You can contact me, jrred@ses.edu, and be willing to dialogue with you.
Okay. Professor Jason Reed talking with me about philosophy and Christianity. And that will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
The preceding show has been sponsored by Giving an Answer with your host, H.C. Felder. So you can hear this broadcast as well as other episodes by visiting us online at givinganswer.org. You can also order a CD or a DVD of the studio recording by calling me at 704-248-7840. And remember, this show will only stay on the air if people continue to help us buy airtime. So I encourage you to consider making a tax-deductible financial donation to this ministry. That phone number again is 704-248-7840. And be sure to join me again next time on Giving an Answer.